It's holiday time, colder weather, snowy scenes, and baking. The University of Minnesota Press has published a mouth-watering guide, The Great Minnesota Cookbook, offering cookie recipes, photos, and personal stories behind each of the award-winning recipes. Here to tell us more is co-author Lee Svitak Dean, the food editor at the Star Tribune. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
We are so glad to have you. Your book is absolutely beautiful. I am looking at a copy of it right now. But before we discuss the book, let's talk a little bit about you. You are
sure.
The food editor at the Star Tribune. Could you describe for our listeners what you do? Because it sounds like a really fun job.
Well, on most days it is. I really spend my time thinking about food, always. That's sort of what it boils down to. As the editor, I put together a 6 to 8 page food section, separate section in the paper. I've been doing it for almost 25 years. And I have a very small staff of really good writers who work really hard and fast. We fill that up with stories on restaurants and home cooking and interesting people out in the food world and anything else we can think of that is remotely connected to food.
It sounds like you have an awful lot of work to do every week.
Yes, it keeps things interesting. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, now let's talk about the book, The Great
Sure.
Minnesota Cookie Book. This book contains the best of the Star Tribune's annual holiday cookie contest. Tell us about the contest.
You know, it's something that we've had going for the past 16 years, and it started back in 2003. We were looking for a new approach to how to handle holiday cookies. And, you know, food sections are somewhat predictable in the sense that there are certain occasions that when people are looking for new recipes, you know, if it's the 4th of July, they're looking for picnic recipes or grilling recipes. If it's Thanksgiving, it's more than likely the turkey and side dishes and, of course, leftovers. And when it comes to December, then people are often, you know, heading back to the kitchen for their one time of year, occasionally,
sure.
One time of year baking, extravaganza. And so we were looking for an approach to take that would be a little fun for us. And my colleague, Rick Nelson, who was very new at the time to the food section, he suggested that we do a contest. And that was really prompted because he had he'd been recently looking at our archive of past issues. The section itself is almost 50 years old, and we've kept every issue of the paper. And so he's going through that and noticed that we had a lot of, in the early days, we had a lot of sort of reader exchange kind of things where one reader would say, oh, do you have a banana loaf recipe? And then a zillion people would send in recipes, and it's sort of the pre-internet approach to social media, exchanging recipes through the newspaper.
Sure.
And so we set up a contest and thought it was really a one-year thing, and it was wildly popular in the beginning, and we have not felt like we could ever stop it. It actually has become somewhat of a holiday tradition for Rick and I now. So,
and we should say that Rick Nelson is your co-author on this
yes,
book.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you start? When do people start sending in their recipes?
You know, it sounds like we start really early because it sort of is when you're talking about holidays, but we start in September, and for us, we need that much time to get things going. We give readers about 4 weeks to send in their favorite recipes for the contest. And that takes us to, like, the middle of October. And then we sit down, we go through 200 to 300 entries that we have. And we're looking for recipes that are new to our readers. And we've had 80 winners in the past contest.
Uh-huh.
So we are looking for recipes that are different from those 80. And we're looking for a variety of really interesting treats that people can put out on, you know, cookie platters, we find that, or people have told us that many of them get together with groups, and we have five finalists, and they get together every year and make all the cookies, and so we want to make sure everything looks pretty together. So we have sort of a convoluted sense of how we pick out the finalists. And once we have those finalists, we used to test them ourselves before we did a taste test. We would bake them up ourselves. Now we have a pastry chef who helps us. And that has been very successful because she and some other bakers prepare everything so that everything is fresh and equal, and, you know, we got an even playing field. And we sit down and try those. We try probably about 20 to 30 cookies in a sitting and determine what's going to be the winner.
So you must be one of the judges.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes?
I are definitely there.
And how many judges are there?
You know, right now we have probably about six people. It's a few bakers who have won in the past that we've gotten to know, some other food writers, and basically people whose palates we trust. So
every year there are five finalists, is that correct?
There's five that we pull. One is the winner, and then we have four finalists. So five, we refer to them all as winning cookies.
Sure. Well, you have quite a variety of different cookies in this book. And what I love about this book is that you have a photo on every recipe, a big photo. I mean, it looks wonderful. Makes me want to make them all.
Well, that's good to hear.
So over the years, are there trends that you can see for the recipes that are submitted?
You know, there definitely are. In the very early stages of the contest, we tended to get more recipes that were kind of hand-me-downs from family traditions, you know, with notes that would say, you know, that my grandmother has been serving this for, you know, forever kind of thing. And as time went on, we found less of the you know, sort of the heritage cookies, and there were more bakers who were becoming more competitive. And we, you know, they would be creating recipes on their own. There were some individuals who have actually become finalists like four or five times, who apparently spent all year experimenting, and they would enter like a lot of recipes that that they had been working on. And so in that sense, you know, there's perhaps a little more expertise at times that of some of the entries that have come in. And then we also see, as people are developing recipes on their own, they're tapping into food trends that are out there that you find in restaurants just in general. And so they creep into the cookies as well. So there are, and they almost always like fall in like separate years for us. So there was like the year where we got a ton of bacon related recipes. And then another year we got recipes with a lot of balsamic vinegar. We've had many entries with sea salt. We've had espresso pops up a lot. And then one year, it was the year that kale really kind of hit the news, and people were trying that out in salads and or other stuff. And we got several recipes that use kale in the cookie as well. And we were first kind of, that actually was one of the few times where we were really surprised by that appearing with a cookie, and the fact that it was in multiple ones was really surprising. And we thought, you know, it didn't sound particularly appealing, but we thought, we would just give it a try and test one of them out just to see how it was. And we did.
And what was the verdict?
The verdict was kale should never, ever be in cookies.
Kale should never, ever be in cookies.
Yes, words to live by. It turns the cookies a very odd green that is not particularly pleasant. And It just simply does not taste very good. So we moved on. We're not testing any more recipes with kale. So do not enter those in the future.
Well, I have looked through this book. I have read the recipes. I really like to read the personal stories for each baker and to see where these bakers are from. And they're from all over Minnesota and even a couple from Wisconsin.
Yep. It surprises us where they come from. And, that's a credit to the fact that they're reading the Star Tribune, which is really the only place that we're promoting it. So, there are readers.
And the closest one to our location in Cook County is a woman from Babbitt, Minnesota, Crystal Schluter.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
More recent. Yes.
She was a finalist in 2016 with her Nut Goody Thumbprints.
And I have to say, that was one of our favorites. It tapped into the whole Minnesota thing.
Yes.
And it's super good cookie. So,
Yeah, it looks absolutely delicious and definitely a recipe that I plan to try for the holiday season. But the big question for tonight's Roadhouse Show is, do you have a favorite holiday cookie?
You know, I do. I tell a story in the book about how Russian tea cakes were a favorite in my family as a child. And, I think for so many of us, there just are certain dishes, sweet and savory, around the holidays that just connect you immediately to the past. And for me, a Russian tea cake, which I still make every year, it just brings me back to my grandmother's home on Christmas Eve. Everybody's, tramping the snow off their feet and coming in, and there's always this big platter of homemade cookies with a definite Norwegian tilt to them. And there's always these Russian tea cakes, and so I'd have a real fondness for them. There are several other, there are many, many cookies in the book that I like. They're all good ones, but there's ones that sort of tend to also pop up in my personal baking. We had one last year called cranberry cornmeal shortbread that had dried cranberries and also rosemary in it, and that's the only recipe I think that used cornmeal in it, and it's really fabulous. It's not very sweet, which I realized as we were working on the book is sort of my preference in cookies, is not the super sweet ones, but like the Russian tea cakes, it's on the scale of sweetness, it's probably a one or a two.
Okay.
Not terribly sweet. And there's also a recipe for biscotti that has also dried cranberries and pumpkin seeds and pistachios in it. That's absolutely fabulous. Another one that, again, not too sweet, that is really wonderful is almond pommiers, which are a really beautiful cookie made with puff pastry and almond paste, and just rolled up, and they look beautiful.
They all look beautiful. It is just a gorgeous, gorgeous cookbook. Finally, no matter what the recipe, what's your best advice for holiday baking?
I tell this to anyone who asks me, but be sure to read the recipe all the way through to the end. You would not be, it's not surprising to me that people sort of sometimes forget to do that because you just assume that you know how to make the recipe. But what happens if you don't do that is you sort of mix the ingredients together and then you look at the directions and it says, refrigerate for 8 hours, and your baking plans get stalled. So
sure,
just read it carefully.
I have to say that I have done that before.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I've been caught on that one.
We've been speaking with Lee Spitak Dean, Star Tribune food editor and co-author of The Great Minnesota Cookie Book. Lee, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I would encourage everyone to try our new recipes, which you can find at startribune.com/cookies. We have a all the recipes from the book are also online at that spot, and there's 80 plus recipes. You can, it's easy to tell which are the new ones and which we've had for many years. So we encourage you to bake.
So the cookie winner, the award winners for 2018 have been announced or no?
Yes, they were announced yesterday. Okay. And so they are also, they're also on this sort of archive of cookies. So, The winner this year is a variation on the Fig Newton with chocolate with the figs and a chocolate ganache on top. It is really fabulous.
Oh, sounds lovely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on the Roadhouse.
Thank you very much.
Have a great evening.
Thank you.